Looking for car shows? Then look no further than flacarshows.com. On your computer or on your mobile device, flacarshows.com is a comprehensive list of automotive events, plus videos and news articles. Whether you're looking for car shows, cruise-ins, meetups, automotive festivals, cars and coffees, or anything else relating to an internal combustion engine, then this is a site for you. Check it out online or on your phone at flacarshows.com.
You may be owed some money. After 911 and 411, call 541. That's 727-541-1741. Call Gulfstream Motorsports for a diminished value report. Due to my 28 years experience in the auto salvage business, I'm very good with wrecks. So if your car's been involved in a wreck, call me for a diminished value report. Call 727-541-1741. You may be owed some money for the lost value of your repaired vehicle. And visit us at GulfstreamMotorsports.com.
Welcome. You're tuned in to Nostalgic Radio and Cars, and I'm your show host, Robert. Run your computers and Google Tantalk1340.com, and you can see us live here in the studios in downtown Clearwater. Don't forget to check out our website, GulfstreamMotorsports.com, where you can find out all about us. And if you've missed any of our past shows, don't forget to check out NostalgicRadioandCars.com. Good evening, everybody. This is our one of many special shows that we're going to be doing here for the remainder of the year, but this is our special Monterey Car Week edition, and we've got two special guests coming on our show this evening. I've got Barry Topke coming on. He's from the Laguna Seca Racetrack, and I think it's WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. Did I say that right? I think I did. And then we have Shantaria McGilbray, and she's with the Prancing Ponies Women's Car Show, which will be taking place in downtown Carmel. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about Monterey Collector Car Week. And, of course, I tell everybody every year it's always the third week in August. And it's an amazing event. This is definitely one of those shows you need to put on your bucket list. There used to be two that I used to talk about all the time. And I used to talk about Amelia Island. But Amelia Island's no longer any fun. So we kind of skipped Amelia Island. We decided this year what we're going to do is we're going to go to Rhode Island. And we're going to go to Newport and do the Audrain Concourse, which is beautiful. It's on the Biltmore Estate up there on the Atlantic. I keep saying Pacific. But anyway, Atlantic Coast, and of course, Jay Leno's up there, and Donald Osborne, and it's a cute little town, and it's got a lot of historical significance, and obviously a lot of cars show up for that particular event, and it's a pretty amazing event. But let's just talk about Monterey Collector Car Week. So besides the weather, besides the scenery, besides all that stuff, the car stuff is just absolutely amazing. And then there's a whole bunch of symposiums going on. There's a number of guest speakers, the celebrities, the car guys. It's really, really, really cool. I mean, if you really want to immerse yourself in the collector car world, the car world in general, when they use the expression, there's truly something there for everybody, there really, really, really is. And on that note, I think what we're going to do is fire up the stereo, play some music, and then we're going to introduce our first guest. So don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. You're tuned in to Nostalgic Radio and Cars. Okay, we're back, and you're tuned into Nostalgic Radio and Cars. It's time to introduce our special guest for the evening. This is an alumni guest from ours from all the way from California. I'm delighted to welcome to the show this evening the director of heritage events at the Laguna Seca. Well, actually, it's the WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. I'm delighted to welcome to the show this evening, back to the show, in fact, Barry Topke. How you doing, Barry?
I'm doing fantastic. We are it is event mode 100% right now. So if you hear any beeping, that's the lifts putting signage in place and all of that.
Well, yeah, I talked to Alicia earlier today, and she says you're down there running around like a chicken with your head chopped off. So
yeah, well, that's always a good thing, though, right?
That's
better than just sitting here being bored.
Oh yeah,
we just finished the pre-reunion Corkscrew Hill Climb over the past 2 days, so. One event down, and now the big Rolex Monterey Motorsports reunion is some more cars are loading in today, and the final cars are coming in tomorrow, and then we are rolling on Wednesday morning.
So how many cars you expect to usually is what, like 250, 300 cars that show up there?
That's for the pre-reunion alone. We have about 420 accepted cars for this year, and so we have about just shy of 300 in the paddock now, so we have to shoehorn in another 120 so cars tomorrow morning.
Would it be fair?
So you can imagine what the logistics look like.
I got to tell you, Laguna Seca and Sears Point are my two favorite racetracks in the world. You know, I mean, even though I'm here in Florida, you know, like Sebring and Daytona is cool, but we don't have hills down here, other than maybe Road Atlanta, yeah. But nothing.
You have big anthills.
Yeah, we have big anthills. Yeah.
I lived in Florida. I know those anthills.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You're right. I mean, you're right. I mean, the two road courses out here have such a unique history to them. And certainly Laguna Seca with, you know, being in 1957, so it's older than Sears Point. But, you know, with the people who have been here for the Dan Gurneys, the Sterling Moss, the Phil Hills who have raced here in period, it's a pretty magical place that we have here.
It truly is. Let me ask you this. So I've been coming there on and off for 20 some odd years. So would you say, compared to last year and the last 3 or 4 years, that your attendance in terms of attendees and spectators as well as participants has grown substantially?
Yes and no. In 2022 was a very good year, right after the pandemic broke. Mm-hmm. And then last year, it was kind of a malaise over the whole Monterey Car Week. Everyone was just kind of down, just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Our attendance was down ever so slightly over 2022. But this year, we're up, last report I saw, we're up 7% over last year. There's an excitement and a renewed energy that's happening right now across the board in the automotive world. And, you know, last year we had a number of withdrawals at the very last minute. So we ended up being with about 365 cars last year. This year we have maintained a steady pace at 420. And we usually allow 400, but then, you know, an oddball here and there, a great car that is coming over from Europe or something like that, it's hard to say no to. In fact, Jenson Button, Formula One world champion, has flown over his Jaguar C-Type that was originally owned by Juan Manuel Fangio. So he's going to be racing it because last year he was only a spectator, a guest of Rolex, and he saw how much fun people were have out here on track and in the paddock that he decided, I want to be more than just a spectator. I'm going to race.
You know, it would probably be fair to say that outside of Daytona, Sebring, no other track in the United States attracts people and the cars and the level of the cars and everybody and everything outside of Laguna Seca. Would that be a fair statement?
Oh, absolutely. And it's also our destination. Let's not forget that we're in the beautiful Monterey County with Carmel by the sea. We've got, you know, we're 10 minutes away from the beach here, and we're 10 minutes away from a fantastic wine growing region. So it's, yeah, we're situated in an area that, it's not difficult to say, I want to go to Monterey and I want to race at Laguna Seca, or I want to be a spectator at the Rolex Monterey Motorsports Reunion, when you have all these beautiful hotels, great seafood, and friendly people that are very welcoming here.
Super. Hey, let me ask you this. So back in the day when Doug was around and we did the concourse on the Ave, what was really, really cool is when you had the race cars drive from the racetrack down to, you know, with police escort down into downtown Carmel. That was pretty cool. Now, I understand that on Friday you do something similar to that. You go to, what, downtown Monterey with all the race cars?
Yeah, we did that to open up all of Monterey Car Week. We did that last Friday. We mm-hmm. had 32 race cars go down under CHP escort. And we had our biggest year in terms of public attendance. The police estimated to be 3,500 to 4,000 just roaming the street, you know, a block here. And, you know, they're just lined up. They love the enthusiasm. And we really did that. We created that back in 2010 as a way to bring the show to the locals, to share what we love out here. And kind of get new fans. And when you walk around, you see kids. You see kids getting into the cars. You see them talking to the owners. It's a real family environment. And that's one thing that we're also trying to do with all of our events, not just the Rolex reunion, is to make it an experience. To, you know, we have the Travis Air Force Band rock band playing a couple of days a week. We have live music going on the stage, live streaming at the stage. We have an exhibition this year because we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of historic racing at Laguna Seca, because this is the event that really turned club racing into an event type of activity. You know, Goodwood Revival, Silverstone Classic, Monaco Grand Prix, they all followed the formula that the founder Steve Earle created back in 1974. So on this 50th anniversary, we wanted to celebrate it, and we have an anniversary display that is going to be retrospect of 29 amazing cars that represent the 50 years of the reunion and before that, the Monterey Historic Automobile Races, because some of the cars were featured multiple times. So it's going to be a very interesting display, one that has probably never been put together like this. And the newest car that's going to be in display, actually, I just got word that it's going to be here within the hour, the Garage 56 NASCAR Camaro that ran in the last year's 24 Hours Le Mans. That's on its way, and it'll be here in an hour.
Wow. Wow. Who is the, who's going to be the Grand Marshal? I understand is it Bill Warner?
Yep, Bill Warner. We thought, who's authentic to the event and who has been here for many years when it was the Monterey Historic Races? And we thought, you know, who better than Bill Warner to symbolize what historic racing is all about? So, He humbly accepted, and we just adding upon his duties as he is chief steward and on our advisory council too. So, we're not trying to keep it in house, but it was just a fitting tribute to someone who has meant so much in this world of motorsports and collecting, as you know, certainly as the founder of the Emilia Island Concours. He's richly deserving, and felt it was time to do this.
Yeah, no question about that. Bill's a super guy. He's a personal friend of mine, too. So I'm happy for him. So what is the featured mark this year?
It is the 50th anniversary of historic racing. We kind of took a little bit of a flyer.
Oh, okay.
Instead of honoring a specific mark, we wanted to honor all past marks. And, okay. You know, we're getting the support from the BMWs, the Fords. Nissan is here as well with displays and really kind of celebrating the event itself that started it all and the people who have all been here, you know, the Sterling Mosses, the Derek Bells, Tom Christensen's and Bobby Unser's, and the Dan Gurney's and really celebrating what they have built and what we all enjoy now.
Have you guys ever considered, and are you doing like any kind of symposiums, you know, where you have guest speakers and stuff like that, presentations?
We do a picnic in the park where we have, Legends Talk. We have Hurley Haywood's going to be up here on stage. Lynn St. James is joining, and obviously Bill Warner and Ray Everham. The problem, quote unquote, is that we are noisy. Places that we can have quiet sit downs with people and do interviews for the public when we have race cars on track from 8 in the morning until 5:30 at night. And so it's a little bit more difficult, you know, in a way. I wish we had these beautiful, luscious greens and beautiful hospitality area that we could be quiet. But we're kind of loud, brash, and, you know, we're proud of it.
Well, no, there's nothing wrong with that. That's what race cars are all about. Let me ask you this. You mentioned the hill climb. Now, a few years back, I know that they had the hill climb actually on a Sunday, if I remember correctly. So now, do
yeah, we had it the past 2 years on a Sunday, but this year we changed it around and just finished it.
Oh, okay.
Actually, just yesterday. And the highlight of that was probably going to have to be the McMurtry Spurling, which is it sounds like a jet fighter taking off. You know, they've got these fans that start up 10 seconds before it launches. And to say that it's quick is an underestimate. The second place finisher was Martin Lauber in a 1967 Ford Falcon. He finished the course in 29.004. The McMurtry with Max Chilton, Formula One driver, IndyCar driver, finished the same record or same course in 21.958, a full 8 seconds faster going up the hill. And just, I mean, it flew, and the crowds loved it up there. So we're looking at how to embrace it and how to enhance it for next year, you know, to kind of grow it a little bit more. But it's a fun element to the weekend that, you know, is a different experience. And since we have such an iconic turn in the corkscrew, how can we, you know, capitalize on that and accentuate its history?
Very interesting. Well, let me ask you this. So when I was there and we did the hill climb a couple of years ago, because it happened at that particular time, it fell on the same day as Concours. So it was kind of like a schedule, you know, trying to do two things at one time. But does it just start at the bottom of the corkscrew, or are they taking it a little bit further, like down by turn, was it 17, 18? What's the last turn there before you get to Australia?
Actually, we start just past the start-finish line.
Oh, okay.
And heading course-wise, I mean, counter-course-wise. So
right.
We ended up going hard into turn 11, which is the slowest turn on the track. Hard right, wind your way up to the corkscrew, and finish after you crest the corkscrew, turning right, is where we would have the checkered. So it's been, people line up alongside turn 11 up at the top of the corkscrew. It's fun to watch the cars. We just, as soon as one finishes the course, another one comes out.
Wow. Okay, so give us some information. How much does it cost to participate and give us kind of like just a rundown of the schedule and everything?
Well, we have a variety of groups going on, and this year we changed it around a little bit. That instead of just calling it the saloon car race, we call it the Dan Gurney. So we've named some of the groups, or named all of the groups now, and all of the individuals such as Mario Andretti and Scott Pruitt, Dan Gurney's group, and Parnelli Jones and Hurley Haywood all said that we would love to be part of the reunion in the namesake of the racing. So we have 13 race groups, along with the ragtime racers, the early pre-war guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're on track every day, Wednesday through Saturday. And like I said, we start up around 8 o'clock and conclude around a little after 5.
Now, in terms of the run sessions, are they all about the same time? In other words, are they all like 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 20 minutes? How does that work?
Yeah, we do 25-minute sessions, and except for the ragtime racers, they're more of an exhibition this year, where they do go out 15 minutes. And then, you know, each group goes out each day. And then on Friday, we do the saloon car enduro. So that's a one-hour enduro at the end of the day. So that's from, I think, 4:45 to 5:45. So it's a full day of activities each day, and we have different, experiences going on in the Hagerty Marketplace. You know, like I said, the rock bands from Travis Air Force Base, and we're trying to bring more elements of entertainment into it, of attracting a new audience who want to come out for entertainment and an experience, and then realize, hey, these cars going on track and seeing them in the paddock and seeing these guys working on the cars, that's kind of fun, and hopefully they'll get hooked. You know, the non-motorsports people will get hooked and want to come back and become car enthusiasts for life.
Another question I was going to ask you. Okay, so a few years ago, you know, I think your track car, you've got schools there that take place too, right? Racing schools at Laguna Seca?
Yeah, we have a variety of schools that rent the facility. Skip Barber has classes, Alan Berg, a number, and Hooked on Driving. So we have a variety of schools, and the best thing to do is if someone is interested in being on track is to look at our website and our calendar and see who's on track and renting that day and seeing if it's a good fit for you.
Okay. Now, do they bring their own school cars? Do you have to bring your car? Do you got, you know, like a few years ago, it was, I think Mazdas were there a lot, but I don't know what you guys have for vehicles floating around these days. What are they?
Yes. Skip Barber and Alan Berg have their own cars.
Okay.
But Hooked on Driving, you bring your own, and you can always tell the people who are part of those programs because they have to have car numbers, and you'll see them darting around downtown at night, you know, car number 15, you know, Porsche 911 or something like that. Of, you know, they you know, have to have numbers on the cars, and they're proud of it, and you can always tell them. And we finished Moto America recently, and a lot of motorcyclists were in town, and I was at one of my favorite little very, very small restaurants, and the place was packed with guys from the motorcycle clubs and things like that. So it's, you know, the economic impact of the events here at WeatherTech Raceway are enormous in the Monterey County region.
Is Scram still involved, or who's in charge of the racetrack right now? Or does it belong to the county?
Well, Scram was in charge up until 2020, and that, you know, it's always been owned by the County of Monterey.
Okay.
And the County of Monterey kind of was overseeing it up until just very recently, where a new concessionaire came in, Friends of Laguna Seca, an organization of enthusiasts and businessmen and women who were involved early on but did not get the agreement. And when Andy Narigi, who I work for, is the management company on the day-to-day, in order to make this business really click and run it as a business, the Friends of Laguna Seca have come in now, and their job is to raise capital for track improvement. So they're going to be raising money to reinvest into this facility, to enhance it and to correct long deferred maintenance projects that you know, just need to be done to bring it up to standard. So exciting times. It's a whole new era that's starting up here at Laguna Seca. And, you know, we're still owned by the County of Monterey, but the new Friends of Laguna Seca is going to bring in a whole new fresh attitude and fresh awareness of what we're doing, and this facility is not going away. It's going to be here for a long, long time.
Wow. What are some of the other important automobile races that you have there? Is it like IndyCar that shows up there, NASCAR, GT racing?
Yeah, we've had the two big ones are IMSA and IndyCar.
Okay.
And we've had those, and we have been in the past 2 years the season finale. But because of the Olympics, NBC went to IndyCar and said, we're not broadcasting any races in between this time. So IndyCar kind of switched their schedule around. And so now we're in the summertime, which is just the start of summer vacation. So I think it's going to be a good spot for us on the 2025 calendar. And then the probably the largest motorcycle race on the West Coast, Moto America, keeps growing each year. And it's going to be a lot of good things.
Wow, super. All right, so, Barry, I know you're busy. Real quick, so if people want to find out more about Monterey and the Rolex Monterey Motorsports Reunion and the WeatherTech Raceway at Laguna Seca in general, where do they go?
Best way to go is to the website, weathertechraceway.com. And we're gonna, you know, now that we have under a new management agreement with Friends of Laguna Seca, we're going to be revising the whole website. So bear with us for a little bit while it's kind of quirky. And but we're going to be kicking it up here for the 2025 season in the next month or so, and we're very excited of what's ahead of us and what's ahead for this facility.
Super. Well, Barry, thank you very much. I'll see you in a couple days, and thank you very much for hanging out with us again here at Nostalgic Radio and Cars, and all the best to you guys there at Monterey.
It's always great. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. Have a great one.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
You bet.
All right. Well, I want to thank my special guest, Barry Topke from WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca. Of course, for us old-timers, Laguna Seca. But I want to thank Barry for hanging out with us for a few minutes. Definitely check out the website. The Rolex Monterey Historics is an absolutely amazing track. I've been on the track many times as a passenger in race cars when we do these exhibition runs, basically. And in fact, one time I was in a Shelby. It was in a friend of mine, 67 Shelby. Multiple times in Porsches. 356 on one occasion. And it's just really cool. When you get to that notorious corkscrew, that's a pretty amazing part of the racetrack. Extremely historic. And but it's kind of like, you know, like I went around it so many times as a passenger, it's kind of like in my head. But it was a really, really, really just a wicked sensation going down that track. And then when you come around, and it looks easy, but you've got some negative, what they call decreasing turns and or negative camber turns, and that'll throw you off a little bit. You got to pay attention. But anyway, so if you get a chance, definitely want to check out Laguna Seca someday. It's a really cool track. So don't touch that dial. We'll be right back, and we'll bring our next guest on. And you are tuned in to Nostalgic Radio and Cars. If you're going to San Francisco, be sure to wear some flowers in your hair. If you're going to San Francisco, you're gonna Okay, we're back, and you're tuned into Nostalgic Radio and Cars, and it's time to continue with our special Monterey Car Week edition. And I'm delighted to welcome to the show the founder of the Prancing Ponies Women's Car Show, which takes place in Carmel, California. I'm delighted to welcome to the show this evening, Shantiria McGillibray. Shantiria, welcome to Nostalgic Radio and Cars. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great, and thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and how the Prancing Ponies Women's Car Show came to fruition.
Absolutely. So I was the first employee of a biotech startup, and we went public, and I bought me what I call a yay me gift. And it was my Ferrari named Coco, because she's all chocolate suede on the inside. So she and I were driving down the streets in San Francisco next to a high school called Galileo. And there were three girls at the bus stop. And one of them saw me in the car and said, "Miss, I like your car." And I looked at them and I said, "I expect you to get one too." And I'll never forget their eyes, all of their eyes got wide and they just slowly nodded their heads up and down. And I thought, ah, that's what I'm supposed to do with this car, is inspire girls. So hence the name Prancing Ponies. And it started out as a rally. That was my first fundraiser, the first all-female Ferrari rally. And the U.S. and probably the world, I think. That's what Ferrari told me. And then we also had the group of us girls from that rally. We all decided to meet back at Monterey Car Week the following week. And I thought, huh, it'd be nice to, you know, be able to have a gathering of women car owners like ourselves. I didn't quite think it was a show, but I thought maybe it would grow into one. And the mayor at the time said, "Well, why don't you do it now?" And so I said, okay. And so that's how I ended up with the Prancing Ponies Women's Car Show.
Interesting, interesting. And of course, Prancing Pony, because the Ferrari logo is basically a prancing pony, so you kind of did a play on that, correct?
Exactly, exactly.
Interesting. So how many members do you have?
So it's not a membership-based organization. We are a car show, and so we have, well, at least cars that will be judged. We have about 80 cars that will be judged, but we have a lot more cars that will be in attendance. All women owned, and we have about, I'd say a handful of what we call the men we love exhibitors. And those are men that we invite to our car show, and their category gets one winner as well.
Interesting. Okay. Now, we're talking all Ferraris, correct?
No, it's everything. As a matter of fact, the motto for my car show is, if you love it, show it. Oh. So we actually have every make, car, model. It's really about the passion women have for their cars and giving them an environment in which to showcase that passion. So you'll see on every car, there's a laminate piece of information about each car. And in that information, we also include what I call her story. And it's the woman's story about why this car is so special to her and or how she acquired the car. And it's just some of the most amazing stories I've ever read. And it just makes me so excited to do the car show, because it's these stories are the reasons why I work so hard and make this happen every year.
Interesting. Now, this actually does take place in downtown Carmel, correct? You're on Ocean Avenue and San Carlos in that area?
I am between Junipero and Dolores on Ocean Avenue.
Okay. So where's that in relationship to the park? That's a couple blocks down.
It's right in front of the park. Okay. Our VIP lounge is directly across from the park at Carmel Plaza, right at the entrance.
Okay. Yeah. Part of my plaza is really nice. That's that multi-story complex there, and that's really neat. Okay. So now, do you have a publication? Do you have a newsletter? If people want to find out more about it, how they go about doing it?
So we have a website, PrancingPoniesWomensCarShow.com. We have a plethora of information on there. We also, we're on every social media. We have Facebook, Instagram. We have Prancing TV on YouTube, where we have all of our videos there. So there's a lot of ways that people can find out more about us. We also to let you know, we are a fundraiser for Prancing Ponies Foundation, and we pay for low-income women to attend workshops, seminars, and conferences that they would otherwise not be able to afford. And so that's what we're raising money for.
Oh, well, that's very commendable. Yes. All right. So now then, is this an event that just takes place strictly in Carmel once a year, or do you have other gatherings throughout the year?
This is strictly in Carmel once a year, although we are expanding. So more on that later.
Okay. And you said you're going to have roughly 80 cars there, you said, something like that?
80 will be judged.
Okay.
So there's a lot of cars that don't want to be judged. And so I keep track of the ones who want to be judged, and the other ones, they are just exhibitors. But we will have quite a few cars there, yeah.
So what are the qualifications for judges? I'm just curious.
So we actually, this is our largest team of judges we're going to have this year. It's led by Tom Matano. He is the creator of the Miata.
Really?
And he's also a Pebble Beach judge as well. And he has been a judge with me since my first car show in 2017. And he, along with Allison Lewis, who is a certified Mercedes Concours judge and currently the president of the Mercedes Club in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area here. So these two head up our judging. We have quite a few new judges. Bill Mitchell, he's a judge. He's been a judge with us for several years as well. And this year we actually have brought on 5 more women judges. And they all, in their own right, are astute judges. They can scrutinize a car like you wouldn't believe. I almost think women might be a bit tougher than men that way, because we tend to look at detail a lot in our day. It's just the way we move through life. So I think it's going to be a really fun car show. We have really fun awards. We have, of course, Best in Class and Best in Show. But we also have fun awards like Best in Presentation that awards the woman who comes dressed in the time period or the color of her car. We also have what I love to say. I mean, of course, we have our Men We Love Exhibitor Award. and then we also have what we call our Curve Appeal Award. It is actually what most people would call people's choice, but we're women. So our car show is curvy. So,
I like that.
Yeah. So it's a lot of fun. We take cars seriously. We love our cars. We're passionate about our cars, but we also like to have a lot of fun at my car show. So,
are most of these cars modern cars, or are there some vintage cars in there as well?
About 80% of my car show is vintage.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's it. So give us a couple examples. I'm a vintage car guy, so that's why I'm kind of curious. So what do you have for vintage cars that show up there?
Let's see. I'm taking a look at the list now. I think we've got quite a few vintage cars this year, but they're just beautiful. We've got a nice Chevelle and a Nova coming in. We have... we have so many.
When you say curvy, the first thing that comes to mind would be like a Corvette or a Jaguar or something like that.
We've got both of those coming in this year, classics. We have, of course, the Mustangs. We've got classic Porsches. We even have a classic Range Rover coming in, which is really excited, as well as a beautiful Bronco.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I call them the twins because it's a 1962 Bronco, and then it's also a 2023 Bronco, and it's from the same couple, and they'll be bringing their Broncos in together, which is gorgeous. So we have everything.
Interesting. Well, let me ask you this. Do you reach out to, because one of the things that is concerned with a lot of club members, older car collector guys and stuff, is, trying to get the younger people involved. Do you have any kind of incentive programs or things like that for, to get children involved or younger people?
Absolutely. We actually offer discounted rates for the youth who want to come and exhibit their cars at a deep discount. And we're so lucky that this year we have about a handful of young girls who are coming to show off their cars who are all under 20.
Oh.
And they're coming with their dads. And I think it's really exciting. So that's up from, on average, we've probably had a couple of younger girls come in each year, but this year is probably our largest cohort of under 21 girls exhibiting their cars.
Excellent, excellent. Well, it's funny because over out in at the Audrey Museum in Rhode Island, one that Jay's kind of indirectly involved with, they do a under 30 class. So basically, guys that are under 30 and have no more limited to $30,000 worth of total investment. And it gathers a lot of interest, So yours is kind of similar on the same concept with, girls that are under, or women, ladies, that are under 21 years old. And then, they have their cars. And that's good because that's how you get people involved. And that's how we, keep the hobby going.
Absolutely. And, of course, our mission is to make sure that young girls, our next generation of young girls, are also included in that next wave of car enthusiasts. So we're very excited about that.
Now, is the event free? If I'm just happening to be walking down the street on Ocean Avenue, can I just walk up and start looking at the cars? Is that the way it is? It's kind of open to the public?
It is open to the public and free to spectators.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's a fun car day. It will be an absolutely brilliant day. We also have a fashion show.
Oh.
And Anne Fontaine is sponsoring that this year. We're having a blast. The women all look phenomenal. And we also have a prancing puppy corner. So we'll be giving away puppuccinos, and with donations, we're giving away little cowboy hats because our theme this year is rhinestone cowgirls. So we'll all be adorning our bling and our hats and boots, and I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Okay. Now, we know the interior of your car is, because she's called Coco, and I'm sure she has a girl's name as well. And so what's the exterior color?
The exterior is titanium.
Oh, that's pretty.
Yeah, and the interior is all chocolate suede, our Alcantara Chocolato. So, it's a nice car, and I put on Modena yellow calipers to honor the original. Most people don't know this, but the original Ferrari color was Modena yellow, named after Modena, where Enzo was born.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's very true. That's. And then red became the racing colors. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So does your car have a name?
Her name is Coco.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you said that, Coco. Okay. Now, I was just going to ask, guys, typically, like, my cars all are named after girls. I don't know why. They just are. They always have been. You know, I have an Elizabeth. I have a Lydia. They're named after my aunts or my uncles or my mom. I mean, my aunts or my mom and, you know, people like that. So do women typically name their cars after girls also, or do their cars have guys' names too?
Women typically name their cars girls.
Okay.
But it's a little different. Like, you know, they'll name them Lipstick and Butterfly.
Okay.
And Coco.
Well, now, speaking of which, so Shantiria, tell us a little bit how your passion for cars developed. I mean, was your dad a car guy, your mom, your uncle, somebody like that? Did you, how did your interest, you know, grow and develop and evolve into to where it is today?
Well, my dad years ago was president of the Volkswagen Bug Club in San Francisco back in the 70s. So we, you know, as a club, we all get together and drive down to Santa Cruz. And I remember as a child really loving those days and weekends. And I, you know, once I got older, I became aficionado of Mercedes, a car I still have to this day. I'm really enjoying the SLK 350. It's a lot of fun to drive as my daily. Then I bought my Yami car, and that, I would say, my passion for cars started in that moment. I just did not know they could be so fun, and I enjoyed feeling the G-force in a Ferrari. Learning to drive it and race it on the racetrack. I take all my race courses in Italy, so I've got a couple more left. So hopefully I'll get those done in the next year or two.
Interesting. So you've been to the Ferrari factory?
I actually saw my car being manufactured. I happened to be there while my car was being manufactured. And I saw them working on my chocolate suede interior while I was on tour. So that was very exciting.
Interesting. So just give us a rundown. Now, I like I mentioned to you earlier off the air there, you know, I've done countless appraisals on Ferraris and stuff over the years, vintage as well as mostly late model ones. But take us through the process so our listeners can kind of get an idea of how special it is to be able to buy a Ferrari and then basically go through the process where you can actually have the car built to your specs and really personalized.
It is an incredible process. I like to tell people I don't have a kid, I have a car, because it felt like I was creating this entity that was coming from my imagination. It was a very special process for me, something I never thought I'd be able to do in my entire life, never even thought of it as a dream. Just it was out of the sphere of reality for me. So being able to spend 6 weeks going back and forth with Ferrari and, oh, let me see if I can have this there and let's see what that looks like. And let's try this color. I mean, it was really a fun, experience. Interestingly enough, it made me far more connected to the car than I ever thought I would be.
Interesting. Did you now the if I recall, the Ferrari dealer is up there in Tiburon. Did you buy your car up there? Because I don't know if a Ferrari dealership in San Francisco or not. I know it's in Tiburon and Marin County. Is that where you got your car at?
I did, Mill Valley.
Mm-hmm. Mill Valley. Okay, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, it's called Ferrari San Francisco, but it's located in Mill Valley. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I actually have a hat from there. I walked in there one day and I was talking to one of the salespeople, and the lady was nice enough and she goes, "You want a hat?" And I go, "Yeah, I wouldn't mind a hat. I'll give it to my son." She goes, "Okay." Or she actually asked me, "Do you have a son?" I said, "Yeah." "Would you like a Ferrari hat?" And I said, "He wears caps." Perfect. So she gave me one. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Awesome. And, that is cool.
So anyway, all right. So then you've actually been to the factory. You watch your car being built, and you've actually been on the track out there. Do they have like a little test track or something like that? Is it actually at the Ferrari factory there in Modena?
Yes. They do have, I took my Concorso sports lesson in Modena, and then I did my second Pilota was in Modena, and then my second level course was in Parma. And that's, they move you around to the various tracks every as you advance up the racing.
Interesting.
I guess you get through the courses. But yeah, I raced on Modena, and it's so much fun. It was very interesting to be on the track and be able to race Ferraris all day. But, you know, the excitement around being able to race Ferraris all day, it kind of dwindles a little when you get so engaged and involved and concerned about your telemetry, you know, and, you know, apexing and your where your eyes are and where you're braking. And it's interesting because it fades away throughout the training, and it just becomes about how safely and how fast you can get through, you know,
the
racetrack. It's really fun.
How long are the courses? Are they like a mile, half a mile? The track?
I'd say, depends on how they organize the course. Modena has several ways they can configure it. They're probably, I'd say, about 2 miles around.
Oh, okay. That's a pretty good track. Is it very technical? Is it real curvy, or is it kind of? It is. Okay.
Very technical. Yes.
Are there sufficient straightaways to get up to speed?
There are, although on Modena, it's not as long. Parma has the longer one, mm-hmm. which was really fun. I was able to get to my fastest speed in Parma, so that was really fun.
And your fastest speed was?
201.
201 miles an hour?
Yeah.
Wow. You go, girl.
Yeah, you just punched it and fell.
Yeah, no.
It was fun.
All right, so now when you first go out there, you're with a driving instructor, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. There are probably a dozen instructors.
Okay, so then when you're on the track and you're doing 201 miles an hour and you've got your helmet on, I assume that's all you have, or do you have a racing mm-hmm. suit and stuff too as well?
Helmet on my first one, race suit on my second one.
Oh, mm-hmm. okay. All right, and is the instructor in the car with you, or are you pretty much solo?
They're in the car with us. Yeah.
Okay. Now, did you get an opportunity to drive on the Autostrada while you were over there in Italy?
Yes, because I also participated in the Ferrari Cavalcades as well. I've participated in several of those.
What are they? What's that?
Oh, about 100 or so Ferraris get together, and we drive around a particular region for about 4 or 5 days, and it's just a really good time and a good family. It's like a family, actually. I really enjoy it. I miss it. I haven't been in a few years, so my car show keeps me so busy.
Okay. Back to your car show now. Do you have, like, a staff that works with you?
All volunteers, including myself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what would you say would be the amount of time you spend a year trying to put this thing together?
Oh.
It's an ongoing thing, right?
All year. Yeah, there's no time that I'm not working on the car show.
Okay. Well, if people want to find out more about the Prancing Ponies Women's Car Show, how do they go about doing it?
Go online to PrancingPoniesWomensCarShow.com. And check us out there, or you'll find us on Facebook and Instagram and on our YouTube channel, Prancing TV. So I think it'll be – there's a lot of information out there. If you just Google it there's thousands of hits you'll get on Google.
Interesting. Just out of curiosity, so when the event takes place in Carmel, from where all do you draw participants? And interest for, you know, members
from all over. I have people coming in from Washington, from Florida,
really?
New Jersey. I mean, there's women from all over that come. Lots of local women, which I really enjoy, as well as the women who travel from afar. I think I've got a woman from Arizona this year too. So, yeah, they come in from everywhere, which is really great.
Are you in the future? Are you ever thinking about doing or would you consider like symposiums where you have guest speakers and stuff like that?
Absolutely. I do have presenters at each of my car show this year. As usual, we have Dave Potter, the mayor of Carmel. We also have Tyler Williamson, the mayor of Monterey, as well as Sheriff Tina Nieto, the first women sheriff in Monterey County. So very excited to have all three of them speaking. But yeah, we always are looking for interesting speakers, changing the format of the car show every now and again, adding things here and there that are responsive to our environment, our society. And so, yeah, to answer your question, yes.
Interesting. Well, there's one lady you might want to reach out to because I know she's very, very, very outspoken, very pro women and racing and women getting involved in motorsports, and that's Lynn St. James. And, she'll be there at Monterey the whole weekend and stuff like that. But if I bump into her, I'll reach out to her and tell her about your event, and because I think she would be a great how should I put it, an asset to your organization and what you're trying to achieve.
Oh, she's amazing. As a matter of fact, I honored her as a legendary leader.
Oh, really?
My second car show in 2018. Yeah,
oh, okay.
I met her at my first one. She's fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're ahead of the curve there. You're ahead of the game there. So that's good, 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 good. So you mentioned a Mercedes. What kind of Mercedes do you have?
SLK 350.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And
yeah.
And any other, what's in the future as far as, I mean, how big a garage do you have? Do you have enough for like four or five cars?
No, I'm happy with the cars that I have, but yeah, nothing in the future. Just I say that today, right? That can change through this next week if I see something interesting.
Well, Shanteria, it's been a treat to have you on the show here and talking about the Prancing Ponies Women's Car Show. But anyway, yeah, I certainly enjoyed having you on there. And this event takes place Friday, correct?
My car show is Thursday, August 15th, from
okay.
10 to 4 p.m. on Ocean Avenue in Carmel by the Sea.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, since you have a Ferrari, do you ever participate or go over and visit the Concorso Italiano on Saturdays?
I have attended in the past, and I have to say, since my car show, I just haven't had the time. It's one of the most beautiful car shows during Monterey Car Week, and I really... really enjoy myself there. I just, again, because I now have my own car show, it's been very difficult for me to make the time to go and check out the cars. And yeah, I've even displayed my car a couple of years in a row there. So it's a great car show.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like you have a really cool show. And the fact that you're in Carmel makes it even more exciting because Carmel is such a cute little town, and it's really neat. But the Prancing Ponies Women's Car Show sounds interesting, and I look forward to seeing you there and meeting you on Thursday.
Oh, I look forward to it as well, and thank you so much again for having me.
We appreciate it. Thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of your day.
You too. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. I want to thank my special guest, Shanteria McGilbray, the founder of Prancing Ponies Women's Car Show, and which will take place this coming Thursday in downtown Carmel. So if you guys can make it there, make it there. We will all be there. So take care. Okay, I want to thank all my listeners for tuning in to Nostalgic Radio and Cars. Don't forget, this week, Monterey Collector Car Week, or Car Week. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in. You know, even if you can't make it up to Carmel, California, you need to put that on your bucket list. But if nothing else, get out and drive your own cars this weekend. It's supposed to be some pretty weather. And that's what it's all about. Drive these cars, have fun. Don't forget to check us out here every Tuesday between 7 and 8 p.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network for the most legendary and fascinating names in motorsports. In the meantime, I want everybody to stay safe, drive carefully, and love your family.
Out and out, straight, deep and wide, break on through to the other side.